So the week before last, I stepped onto the campus of Wartburg Theological Seminary for the very first time to begin my Lutheran formation with a preaching class. The assigned text for my sermon was Romans 8, the text that Chuck just read for us. And it just so happens that that very text was the lectionary text for this day that I was already scheduled to preach. Lucky how that works out. So, you get a Lutheran-approved sermon this morning. I'm very happy to tell you. Let us pray. Holy God and loving Spirit, remind us this day that you are as close to us as our very breath. Let us breathe deep your love and your peace and your grace for us this day. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. I would like for us to begin this morning with a deep breath. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to breathe with me, but not a short, shallow breath like we typically take, but a slow, intentional breath that fills our lungs. We're going to inhale and hold it, and then exhale. You ready? Okay. You can close your eyes if you want to, but you don't have to because you might fall asleep. Okay. Take a breath. Inhale. And exhale. How'd that feel? Good? It's amazing to me how we often go a whole day without ever taking a breath, a real breath. Now consider with me for a moment. The same way you just breathe life into your lungs, God breathed life into creation. Ruach is the Hebrew word for breath. For ancient Israel, human beings had life only when they had the breath of God, Ruach, within them. What gave human beings life was Ruach, the breath of God. And when the breath of God left the human being, the being died. Ruach was the difference between death and life. Images of this divine breath flood the pages of the Hebrew Bible. In the first creation story, God breathes over the face of the waters and brings order to chaos. In the second creation story, God creates a human being from the ground and breathes into him the breath of life. The psalmist writes, "When you send forth your breath, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." Ecclesiastes 12 speaks to what happens to breath when we die. The dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. Breath, ruach, is life. However, this word has a dual meaning. Ruach can also be translated as spirit. The spirit of God is the very breath of God. And for the Hebrew people, breath and spirit were one and the same. If you had breath within you, you had the spirit of the divine within you, and you had life. Take a breath. Paul's letter to the Romans focuses on this same breath. This same spirit. Paul writes, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live." Here, the Greek word for spirit is pneumatikos, from the root word pneuma. Just like ruach, pneuma can mean breath, and spirit. Paul says that if we live by the flesh, we die. But if we are led by the Spirit, the breath of God, we live. Now, Paul is not condemning the flesh of our bodies. After all, the church is called the body of Christ. Flesh and spirit are intimately connected. Paul knew that both were needed, the two parts of our being that make us alive. One is a tangible dimension of our existence, something that we can touch and something that we can see, while the other is intangible, something ethereal and abstract. But one is not bad while the other is good. For what good is your body without a spirit? You're just flesh and bones with no thoughts or feelings or values. And what good is your spirit without your body? What is love without a heart to be filled with love? Our physical bodies experience the essence of our spirit in powerful ways. Has your spirit ever been filled with such joy that you thought your chest was literally going to explode? Or has your spirit ever been so devastated or anxious that you thought you literally might throw up? Our bodies and our spirits are entwined. So perhaps instead, Paul was speaking of the difference between living according to the wants and desires of self, focused on our flesh that will inevitably die, and living led by the Spirit of the divine, allowing ourselves to be led by the very breath of God that dwells within us. Flesh living is a do-it-yourself way of life, focused on success and power and what's in it for me, thinking that we can save ourselves and ultimately we can be the ones that make ourselves happy. Living according to the flesh is living according to the law, always having to achieve, always having to do better to reach perfection. Flesh living is trusting in that which is not God, living separated from the Spirit of God. But when we are led by the Spirit, we are led by grace. We are in rhythm with God. And we live fully aware that we are children of God, putting our trust in God alone. Paul says, "For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Our very breath unites us with the divine." We can recognize and acknowledge that the same breath that filled Jesus fills us. The same breath that resurrected Jesus fills us. In baptism, we are united with Christ by the Spirit of adoption to become heirs to the life of wholeness and reconciliation that God promises to bring forth in the world. Ruach, pneuma, is still the difference between death and life. Take a breath. And along with all of creation, we wait with eager anticipation for this promise of wholeness and reconciliation to be fulfilled. Humanity and all of creation stand in solidarity, waiting to be made whole. As children of God who trust in the resurrection of Jesus, we wait, trusting that in God's goodness and faithfulness, we too will have life. And yet, because we trust in God's goodness, we groan inwardly in eager anticipation of what we know is to come. We know that there is more to this life than our earthly bodies. We know that there is more that God desires for this world than what we see on the news. We hunger for humanity to be fed. We cry out for justice for those who are oppressed. We ache when love is absent, and we mourn when life is shortened. So we've talked about the Hebrew word ruach and the Greek word pneuma, and this isn't supposed to be a language lesson, but can I share with you one more word? The Latin word spire also has the same dual meaning as ruach and pneuma, breath and spirit. Isn't that fascinating? Spire makes up many of our English words. Expire is what happens when life, breath, spirit leaves something or it ceases to be good. And inspire is to be breathed into, to be filled with the spirit of imagination, hope, healing, and peace. It is often when we are most inspired, filled with breath and spirit, that we recognize that we are called to work for the common good of humanity and all of creation. It is when we are inspired that we can look around us and see others who are filled with the same breath of God as we are. This summer, we've been reading through the book of Acts. And this July, our focus is on crossing cultural boundaries. And our understanding of breath and spirit is one of the reasons why this emphasis is so important. Paul's letter to the Romans and the Acts of the Apostles both paint a picture of the early church. And it's a picture of all kinds of different people from all kinds of different places. Palestine and Rome, Turkey and Asia and Africa, all coming together to figure out what it means to be the body of Christ. And what did they all have in common? The Spirit. The same breath of God filled them all. Even when circumstances were difficult, and even when their cultures clashed, they knew they were united by the Spirit of Christ, and they continued to strive for common ground. In Acts, Peter says, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Jesus destroyed boundary lines and made all nations acceptable to God, all colors, all cultures, all creeds, all saints, all sinners, all worthy and unworthy, all people. As the church, we are the body of Christ, the flesh of Christ, filled with the breath of God, led by the Spirit of God, inspired as children of God to imagine a world filled with peace. As the body of Christ, we are still united by the breath of God. And when we follow the leading of the Spirit, we can be inspired. Inspired to dream and imagine ways that we can all work together to bring hope into the world. So take a breath. You are filled with the Spirit of the divine. You are a child of God. Take a breath. God sees you, and God sees all that God created and calls it good. Through the gift of Jesus, you are forgiven and have been given new life. Take a breath. You are united with your fellow brothers and sisters by the breath of Christ to be inspired to bring about the hope of Christ to the world. Amen.